Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Programming for the next 7 hours. The BMW of Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. At the bottom of the hour, we will start with our friend Bill Seals talking some Iowa State. They made some news yesterday. Boy, that roster for basketball. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. TJ says he's done. Should the everything stay the same, nothing unexpected happens. So we'll talk cyclone-related topics with Bill Seals at 11:30. Then we'll head north, further north, to the Twin Cities. Dane Mazzatani, take a look at the Vikings with Dane Mazzatani, St. Paul Pioneer Press. He'll join us for a few minutes just before noon. At 12:05, David Eicholt on the Hawks. They made some news yesterday. Well, Deacon Hill made some news yesterday. We'll pick his brain on what paths forward are they as far as trying to secure a backup quarterback. So we'll talk to Dane Mazzatani on Hawkeye stuff at 12:05 before Cappy slides in here. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cappy on a weekly basis. He comes up at 12:30. Obviously, the Bears and the Cubs and the new stadium, as I guess funding is headed in the right direction for the Bears to leave Soldier Field, but not to Arlington Heights. Going to stay downtown. So we'll talk to Cappy about Chicago-related topics as we do every Wednesday at 12:30. Trent's plays of the day before we slide out of here just before 1 o'clock. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well, apparently better than you, because you're tired over there, old man.
Yeah, it hits you. I had trouble waking up this morning.
Did you really?
Yeah, the last couple hours, I used a nap, but I'm not a napper, but I could use one now. Anyways.
You're not exactly a night owl either when you're in Vegas. It's not like you're out till, some people, stay up till 3, 4 a.m.
9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so it's not that different
for you. It's not my bed.
You're out of your routine.
Right.
You're sleeping on the wrong end, as we found out a year ago.
Still do, but it's just not my bed.
And that causes some issues.
It does. Yeah. A creature of habit, I guess.
Yes, but, you are. that is the understatement of the morning here on KXNO.
But fun to get to Vegas and fun to spend it with our friends at Circa. And obviously spending a couple of days with my son was on top of the list. And we did. And went and bet some horses, didn't cash the tickets. So our streak continues. Just another bad day.
Maybe you need to be along.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. You're going to be along coming up here in, 15th of July, 16th of July, whenever it gets here. But it'll be here before we know it as football media day get underway. And Trent and I will be in Las Vegas for Big 12 media days. Certainly looking forward to that. So the news from the last couple of days, obviously the NFL draft is getting very close. Boy, the rumors, the misinformation that's put out there, it's fun to try and cut your way through it. I know you did your mock draft yesterday with Russ from Graphite Construction. Did you include trades in it?
We did one. We actually had your Broncos moving up to 5.
Moving to 5, and the Chargers were willing to trade within their division?
Again, we're just having fun with it. But the Vikings, I think, are the more likely scenario because of what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
In that one there. But for the most part, we were pretty chalky. Nothing too wild. TJ Tampa with the last pick.
Oh, to the Chiefs?
Actually to the Eagles because we had another trade there.
Okay.
Yeah, Russ, as a Chiefs fan, wanted to go up. He wanted to get Thomas out of LSU. He was sitting there at 22. So we did two trades in there. Had some good time. We'll see how many of them we hit. As we talked about, though, Russ, that guy is as invested in the draft as anybody you're going to find.
I love that. I'm into it as well, but I don't get as in-depth as some. But tomorrow's one of my favorite days on the calendar. I say it every year.
Yeah.
We're halfway through the off-season of football. We are.
Which seems crazy because it feels like there's so much time before we get there, but you're right.
I include July as football season because there's media days, there's Phil Steele. You're starting to get the countdowns to the NFL. Training camps start in July, right. Open up in July. So if you get to July, it's football season. August goes way too fast. I wish it would slow down. But you can't have everything. And soon we'll be back and we'll have football. And the world will be a better place for it.
Love it.
Yeah, I do too. So let's talk about those Iowa State Cyclones, in particular the basketball program. Mm-hmm. The T.J. Otzelberger and the team that he's putting together. Look, the conference is a bitch. Mm-hmm. It just is, right? Yeah. It is, especially Kansas and Houston and Arizona. And you got to throw Baylor into the mix because they're always a tough out as well. And what he has built with the guards and the forwards and getting that Jefferson kid from St. Mary's yesterday. Justin, is it was Justin Jefferson? No, it's not.
No, not Justin Jefferson.
It's Jefferson.
Joshua Jefferson.
Joshua Jefferson.
That's what it is, yes. Great defender. What people talk.
You know, absolutely.
He made a step forward offensively this year.
You had double digits, right? Just under 11?
How about a rich man's Robert Jones? Yeah. A rich man's Robert Jones.
Yeah.
Plus defender, excellent defender.
Right.
And a...
Maybe not the intangibles of Robert Jones, but the basketball
on the
prowess will be a tick up.
Yes. Between the lines, that kind of player, a very good defender with a skill set that is improving offensively and probably a... higher upside offensively.
Mm-hmm. And still 2 years.
Still 2 years.
Right.
They've been so good at that part, too. Remember initially when we go back to 12 years ago in Hoiberg, it was those one-year stopgaps.
Yeah.
It was the grad transfers when that was starting to become a thing. And
DeAndre Kane.
They beat everybody to the punch, too.
That was the
thing initially.
That's true.
And at the time, you wondered about the sustainability because Iowa State was the first major conference program that was doing it at the level. Well, then all of a sudden,
everybody,
Michigan and Duke and Louisville is starting to get involved. Like, well, I don't know if this model works, but as the rules change, it has worked out incredibly well. But they have been so good here recently of finding guys that are upperclassmen, but still have a couple of years of eligibility. And that is so important when you're roster building, you're putting those things together, of finding guys like Jefferson that have a couple years left, learn the system, and then you got yet another year with them after that. It's worked out incredibly well. And this one, boy, this recruiting class that they have brought in, I don't think you could have been happier than what they pulled together out of this group.
No, I'm with you. Now there's just one more little nugget that needs to get done before we get to basketball.
Non-conference schedule.
Thank you!
We're on the same page on that one. Now, we got a little nugget yesterday with the
Marquette,
Big East Challenge.
Yeah, you were right. You're 100% right. UConn's not going on the road after they were in Lawrence this last year. You're 100% right. Would have loved to, everybody, the country would have loved to see. Mm-hmm. Who did UConn draw?
Now I don't even remember offhand.
I bet Houston.
It wasn't. It was Baylor, I want to say.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I'm almost positive now. Here we go. All right, rosters are set. Yeah, UConn will host Baylor in their matchup there.
Who does Kansas get?
Well, let's click and find Kansas. We'll play Creighton. I really like that one.
Yeah,
that
me too.
That one's be excellent.
Where's that, Omaha?
Yes, it'll be in Omaha. That's good.
Uh-huh. That's good. We know Marquette will be in Ames. That's good. And this is the last year for this, Trent. Did I see that?
Is that what it is?
I thought I saw that. Maybe,
man,
maybe,
that's disappointing.
Yeah, it is. But this is good. Well,
we had the Gabba games with the Big Ten and the Big East. That was really good. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. You know, it's about television contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would make a ton of sense? With Fox and the Big 12 and their growing relationship.
What's that?
Big Ten, Big 12.
Yes. Yes.
The ACC Big Ten Challenge is not coming.
Right.
It's not going to happen. The ACC and the SEC have their thing.
Yes. Yes.
And that means, no, don't make the Iowa State game that part of it. No. It's its own thing.
Right.
But then we get an extra game every year against a Big Ten team.
Hello.
Maybe it could be a USC, a UCLA, something like that. Oregon for Iowa State.
Yeah.
You have Iowa obviously having the potential to play, not a Houston, but Kansas State, that was a fun game we saw in the NIT this year. Games like that, absolutely. And Oklahoma State, that needs to happen. Fox, call it in. You got a phone number for them?
That would be that's a clip and save, because if that happens, that would make a lot of sense from a lot of different angles.
Other matchups: Butler and Patrick McCaffrey making their way to Houston.
That? Nice.
Marquette, Iowa State, as we mentioned. K-State goes to St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
You think there'll be any fisticuffs happening there?
Oof.
Let's see what else we got. It is Xavier at TCU. Decent matchup. Cincinnati at Nova. I'll watch that. BYU at Providence. That's a long trip. Oklahoma State at Seton Hall. And Georgetown at West Virginia. That is a win for DeVries early in his career in DePaul. Is Paul's kind of doing some things?
I don't know. They have to, Trent. I mean, they can't be as bad as they were.
Holtmann might have found, he might be the guy. I mean, this was a rising star in the coaching ranks. People talked about him, and it just didn't click.
It didn't.
He was able to bring in talent to Ohio State.
But he was unemployed for what?
Not long.
About a couple hours,
right, seemingly. Exactly. And then got swept up there. They go to Texas Tech. I think DePaul's going to be at least improved, which there's really only one direction to go but up. Georgetown, we need him back, don't we?
Yeah.
And we talk about this. It's always better for college football when Notre Dame or USC is good. You know, those kind of things. We need Georgetown to be good again in college
I don't
basketball.
Disagree with you. I don't disagree. That would be good. Iowa State got Caden Fish back from the portal, right?
That was kind of weird. One. Yeah. We've seen this happen from time to time, guys that enter the portal and then come back. I think of the big fat guy for Iowa basketball, Josh O.
Oh, yeah.
And came back and then went to the portal again. Apparently, he's in the portal once again.
Is he really?
Yeah. Hasn't worked out for big Josh O. But a Gundele? Yeah, that's what it was, a Gundele.
I think it is, yeah.
We've seen it from time to time, just not often. You know, Fish, though, I heard good things this offseason about him. Again, there wasn't likely going to be a spot in the rotation for him with the front court that they had, but they were excited
and
about
the injuries
his future.
Too, right?
But you look at a guy like Damarian Watson. I know I bring him up a ton, but he found a role. He found a niche on this team. When there was injuries, he played a little bit more. That's now what you're trying to do if you're Caden Fish. Try to find that little niche, and if he can do that, suddenly by an upperclassman, hey, you could be a starter or at minimum a rotational piece. What's going to be a really good program? They are
Shilovich and the guards that they've got. I mean, how many minutes is Nate Heisey going to play?
12.
Maybe.
I think you look at the role of Pavelski and give him a little bit more.
Okay.
A more regular part of the rotation, but that's probably what it is.
Am I saying Indrasaitis' name correctly?
I think so.
That's close.
Yes.
Obviously, Gilbert's going to get major minutes. Lipsy's going to get as many as he needs. When it comes to the forwards, Manchilovich and Jefferson's going to play, and your guy Watson. And then what do they do in the middle, right? Is it going to be Chatfield? Is it going to be Jackson, rather? In all likelihood, he will get the majority of these minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I'm anxious to see JT Rock.
Yes, absolutely. Is there something there?
Uh-huh. He sat out. He was with the team the entire year, practiced with him the entire year, sat
worked
on the
out
bench.
With the training staff. Yep. That's a huge component, a guy that needs to add weight. This roster is nuts. And I know Bortovic, as we talked about earlier in the week, Torvik has them as the number one team in the country. It's not crazy.
And right behind them, I think, are two of their Big 12 brethren, right? Houston and Kansas.
Yes.
And then Dukie's there. By the way, I saw Flag play the other day.
Did you?
Holy crap.
He's good.
You were not embellishing how good this kid is.
People, they have been singing his praises long time.
What a player.
That's a weird situation with Duke, though, right? Lose 80 or 10 top scorers.
Yeah.
A lot of guys that have eligibility left. I know it's a good freshman class, but we found out. Hasn't Kentucky tried to do this for the last 8 years?
You have to have old guys on the roster now.
Going young doesn't work in today's college basketball. We've seen it time in and time out. Kind of an interesting one there.
It is.
What's going on with the Dukies and what's going to go. But yeah, you're right. Cooper Flagg.
Oof.
He is going to be fun to watch.
Yes, indeed he is. No doubt about that. All right, well, I want to, we've got to clear out the phones here for a second. I want to get, obviously, to what's going on over at Iowa with Deacon Hill and the fact that he's now entered the transfer portal and there's a lot of blowback about, well, why did he get the number one rest? I think it's pretty straightforward, actually, don't you? When, you know, the criticism that Deacon Hill, well, if you knew he was going to leave, why did you give him all these reps? Well, you want to get the... Because Linus just wasn't ready to be practicing with the ones, right?
I think it made a lot of sense. And the way that Tim Lester explained it before all this happened, last week when we heard from Lester, what was that, Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it was, and he explained it because I thought it was a pertinent question. Whoever asked it, good work out of them to get that out there. Is the way he explained it, he's getting all the second and third reps. He's getting more reps doing this.
Right.
Coupled with, he also mentioned that they're running the offense that they're going to run with Cade McNamara, with Deacon Hill out there. We know Cade McNamara went healthy. He's a lot better football player.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not running a system. What you have to do with Marco Lyonnais is completely different than what you're going to do with Cade McNamara. You have to adjust. And when you have a runner and a guy that's maybe a 1-2 read guy and then tuck in a run, compared to Cade McNamara, that's not going to be Cade McNamara.
Right.
He's going to be going through all the progressions.
Yep.
Same thing that you do with Deacon Hill. Yet the angst out there, I was absolutely shocked. It was explained a week ago. If you cannot wrap your mind around it, I mean, let's have a little mental fortitude here and really think about what he exactly said. Tim Lester explained it. I think explained it perfectly. And if you can't wrap your mind around that, What's going on here?
So did Lester, did they run him off? Did they kind of nudge him?
All right, here's the story. And this is story time. Okay. And I don't know the validity to it. This is not multiple sources. Okay. This is not reporting.
Right.
This is a story that I heard. And I was chuckling, shocked. Deacon apparently went to the Swarm Collective and asked for a little bit more.
Oh, my.
He needs Deacon's reps went and asked a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
Potential starter. Hey, I think I need a little bit more. Won a lot of games last year. And it was not... It was not received well by both the collective and the coaching staff.
Right.
So, again, just a story. Don't know the full validity behind it, uh-huh. but that's something that I heard. And even if he went in there and asked for, I don't know, an extra couple $1,000s, like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Be happy with what
you're
have.
Swinging a pair, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
If that is true, yeah, what Deacon Hill and his reps came up with for that one, woo, that is... Not a good
Well,
look.
More power to him wherever he ends up,
yeah,
right? He took a lot of arrows. Not as many as Petras.
No, not at all.
Who, he didn't.
Who is now the starting quarterback at Utah State.
How about that?
And they had great things to say. I mean, they had a pretty good quarterback. We saw him last year in Kinnick, and the Legas kid. Yep. I liked him.
Yep.
Nope. Spencer's our starter.
And Spencer would have played last year if he still would have been here. Maybe not behind McNamara, but he would have been in front of Deacon Hill.
Yes, he would have.
Or if they would have played Deacon before Petras, they would have very quickly got to Spencer. But
I think, though,
quarterback carousel, let's hope it stops for a little while over there.
Tim Lester wants somebody of his own.
So who's there? Because apparently there's not a very long list of available quarterbacks in the portal, although there was another name added to it yesterday with the kid from Northwestern.
Yeah, and that's the one that people pointed out right away, Lester.
So are they connected? Deacon Hill announces he's leaving the North. What's Schaefer?
Brendan Sullivan.
Sullivan.
Sullivan, who started against Iowa a year ago in Wrigley. So Sullivan, 2 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
Right, what you're looking for, not a one-year stopgap, but at least multiple years. Had an offer from Tim Lester when he was at Western Michigan coming out of high school.
Starting to connect some dots here.
So there's another connection. So those are the ones that probably make a whole lot more sense. But like you said,
does he have a do not contact?
I haven't seen that. Okay. No. I don't believe so because we know it's usually a done deal when you get those kind of things. But that's where we're at that. I think Sullivan would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else?
Well, I just mentioned Legas.
Well...
How about that trade?
Wouldn't that be something?
Petras
and he's
Utah
in the
State?
Portal?
He is not, at least not that I have seen, but he just kind of lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
Starter a year ago, here comes another guy.
Yeah.
Potential there. Another guy I think that has a couple years of eligibility remaining, but it's not.
They got to find
list.
Somebody, Trent.
They do. Yes.
Somebody, for sure.
Lioness is not ready.
Nope.
Rezar. So our lockdown recruiting coordinator is from Florida.
Okay.
Has watched Rezar play. Tons of games, tons of camps, all the things. He said what a lot of people said. He's not a quarterback. He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
He can run. He doesn't have the qualities of a quarterback. And, you know, you look at what this program has had for Iowa football historically here recently, and just the misses on the recruiting front, how bad it's been at the quarterback position. How can you year after year be this bad? I think we're also going to see.
And yet every year they win 9 or 10 games.
Right. And what could have been?
Yeah.
That's going to be a piece that's going to linger.
Uh-huh.
What if you actually had, and I don't even want to say quarterback, a competent offense.
Yeah, because there's more to it, right? Your offensive line's been down the last couple of years. Your skill guys, I mean, the running backs have been fine. Receivers, tight ends, obviously terrific. But what could have been? Let's get Jeff. We'll clear. Get Jeff in here, and then we'll come back, finish up this first segment. We will talk to Bill Seals on Iowa State at the bottom of the hour. Hello, Jeff.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's give a shout out to Reggie Bush.
Yeah, how about that?
Trophy.
That was great.
Very interesting. Good for him for taking a loan and not paying it back. but if I'm anybody else, pick your poison. If I'm the Michigan team from the early 90s, am I getting those wins back? I mean, again, there's when you open Pandora's box, it gets very interesting.
Fair point.
Are they getting their national championship back? Is Pete Carroll getting 14 wins back? There's a lot of things there where you open that up, and I don't know if the NCAA was a part of it. It's very interesting. Let's move along. 2 days ago, I couldn't call him yesterday. The Mike Brain call with the Nick game, the bang, bang. People, if you're listening, look that up. It was chilling. I love Mike Brain on the call. And then you move on to Kevin Harlan with the Denver-LA game. What a call that was. You can't understand Kevin Harlan because he's probably leaning back in his chair losing his mind. That was another phenomenal call. Let's move on to last night. Boys, you guys have talked about the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
The crowd last night was electric. It was phenomenal to watch. I don't watch a lot of Timberwolves games, and I don't know what how this series is going to go and if they win, they play Denver. But to be honest, they're going to be – I don't know how they're going to spend moving forward. There has been some articles a couple weeks ago they want to cut spending. They are fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It was electric. It was fun. But let me touch – the reason why I called, I want to touch on Kevin Durant.
Ooh.
And let's touch base on him being at OKC with all that help, doesn't win a championship, bolts. He goes to Golden State. Steph Curry, probably one of my favorite players of all time, gives him the keys. It's not good enough. He wins two titles, two MVPs in the finals. He bolts. He goes to the Nets, never gets to an Eastern Conference Finals, plays with his best friend. That didn't work. He bolts. He goes to the Suns, Booker, Prime, Beal. I don't know how many shots Beal shot last night. He was horrendous. You give him as well. And you're probably not going to win a championship. I'm going to go on. It could be a hot take. It might not be. I think Kevin Durant is one of the most inconsistent bust in our era of basketball. With all the talent that he's had, and he's a great player, but with all that talent around, you've won two titles with maybe one of the top 10 players of all time, and that's all you've done? Isn't that a little bit tricky, or am I off base?
Yeah, maybe a little bit over the top. He's a pretty special player, but you're right. He has been surrounded by some dudes, and he's only got there once,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just one, yeah, with Golden State.
Brooklyn was a disaster, as you mentioned.
He had to go to a 72-win team, uh-huh, just to win a title.
Yeah. Jeff, thanks for the call, Brad. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
And he was right. That Timberwolves crowd last night was amazing.
Nuts. And they will get Denver in the next round.
Lakers, can you win a couple of games?
It'd
can
be we, nice, wouldn't be?
Can we take a little tread off the tires of the Nuggets and not I, have I them get there had, with
I thought
sweep?
The game two that was their game.
So how was that in Vegas?
Oh, it was bananas.
Oh, I bet.
Absolutely,
yeah,
nuts.
Yeah.
So was the end of the Knicks game, the next Knicks-Sixers,
yeah,
game the other night. That was nuts. It's just different being there. Right? Mm-hmm. It's just different being in a book, and most people that are there have an investment in on either side, and you can tell very quickly. God, I love it there. I really do.
But you never move back.
No, never.
Retirement,
in a million years.
Never. That would never be.
And I hated living there. And I was there for 10 months.
It's just the specialty of when you go out there.
Yeah, because I went to the Strip once in the 10 months I lived there and was on business.
Yeah.
I hated living there. I didn't like the people.
Yeah.
Went to the mailbox for the first week I was there. Finally saw my neighbor, introduced myself, looked at me, walked away.
No.
Didn't say a word.
What'd you do to him?
Nothing. Hey, I just moved here. This is my wife, Cindy, and I. Not a word, not a peep.
Turned right back around,
and okay, this is how it's going to be.
Great, another transplant.
Yeah, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I love going there. I hated living there. It's 11:25. We're going to talk Iowa State with our friend Bill Seals. How much did you do on the spring games? Was there any big news from any of, like, Bussey or Dockerman who were covering the respective games?
Talked a lot about it. Not a ton that came out. You know, Doc, I think he saw that offensive system, the changing that is there, and he said, Doc said, it was pretty significant. It was
really
more significant even than he thought it was going to be.
And you could tell in a spring game.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a couple of the players said afterwards, you know, we didn't really show a whole lot. Mm-hmm. One of the defensive players, I think it might have been Higgins, said, yeah, there's a lot more to this offense than what we showed on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So there's a tinge of optimism, I think, there. And Iowa State, we just had so many top-tier guys sitting out. You got to see the young guys, and that's really
kind
of what it was. And the young guys, they're coming to that roster. Yeah. Are they in good a shape, 1 through 85, as they've ever been at Iowa State? Do you think that's fair to say? I mean,
you have to start the quarterback.
Yes. Returning starters.
Uh-huh.
I know that team that went to the Big 12 championship game, that was a stacked roster, too.
It was, yeah.
It feels like they're in really good shape right now, roster-wise. And there's so many times.
Offensive line?
The portal, the big kid that they got out of the Ivy League. I'm relatively optimistic there. It's a dangerous thing to be with the Iowa State offensive line in 9 years.
And you know they're going to need a kicker.
Yeah. And we're still talking about a walk-on.
Yeah, we are.
That's not just a walk-on, but a young one. Mm-hmm. You know, Contreras is an old dude. That's a guy that's seen a lot.
Yeah. I don't know what they paid for him, but it wasn't enough.
Yes.
They got a bargain.
Yeah, got their money's worth.
They certainly did. All right, we will take a timeout, but before we do that, let's give you an opportunity to win $1,000, shall we? It's money. Money at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000. Money at KXNO.com. Bill Seals next. Dane Mazzutani on the Vikings. Miller and Condon underway on a Wednesday's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We will talk to Dane Mazzutani on the Vikings draft and what they plan to do coming up here in about 15 minutes. Right now, let's talk some Iowa State, shall we? Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com. He joins the program as TJ has completed his roster overhaul by the sounds of it. He met with the media via Zoom yesterday. Hello, Bill. Thanks for coming on. Trent and Ken, how are you, sir?
Good morning. Appreciate you having me on.
No, appreciate you coming on and giving us some insight into the way that this roster's come together. We hope that the non-conference schedule comes together in similar fashion because we're impressed by this roster. We want to be impressed by the schedule because last year, let's be honest, left a lot to be desired. So this latest piece, the Jefferson from St. Mary's, obviously a huge pickup, one that some big name schools were in on. What do you think ultimately was the clincher? Was it the fact, as he said, he wanted to play competitive basketball and wanted his games to be, shown nationally on TV? That went a long way, apparently, Bill.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And going from St. Mary's, already a pretty good program in its own right, but now moving into the Big 12. And I think also he looked at the roster. I talked to him. That was one of the first things he kind of evaluated. And certainly with Rob Jones, Trey King, Hassan Ward all graduating and moving on, there's plenty of opportunities for minutes, I think. And that was another factor. He also clicked, I think, pretty well. Sounds like three or four guys he hung out with on his official visit really kind of shed some light on how the culture is around there. And Cyclones went out over Virginia. I think BCU was another one in there at one point. And some others, I think, tried to get on with him late. But Iowa State, I think, just by virtue of being one of the first to reach out to him and establish that relationship, they end up winning out.
Caden Fish decides to come back after entering the portal. Reading between the lines a little bit, was it maybe there just wasn't a whole lot out there, at least not at the level that he wanted to play at? It was the coaching staff talking into coming back and think they have a plan for him. Take us in a little bit of the decision of Fish coming back.
Well, I think that coming off of the injury and probably not maybe a whole lot of interest just by virtue of him not playing, the first three or four non-conference games before he had the shoulder injury. He didn't even get cleared for full contact until the 9th of April, so just here about 2 weeks ago, and then he'll get into the full off-season program. But I think that was probably one of the big reasons, maybe not a whole lot of interest on the market. And from Iowa State's perspective, they kind of sized up how the numbers were going to go. I think it was a process there as they looked at Josh Jefferson, William Kyle, another one of those in the mix there within the last week or two. He's since committed to UCLA. I wasn't sure if you guys caught that or not here in the last half hour. I think just the way the numbers went, Iowa State was very, I think, backcourt heavy last season.
Okay.
They wanted to maybe retool that a little bit. They replaced the three veteran seniors with three veterans out of the portal. Fish coming back, I think, certainly helps the depth there. And he was always, I think, going to be a project from the start. Just with his game and development, I think, is the name with that. So he'll just keep plugging away this offseason. He does have a little bit of an advantage, though. He's been in the program now for a year, so he kind of knows what it's all going to be about.
So help me out with the minutes for the bigs. I think Robert Jones was 22 minutes and Son Ward was about 16. Do you anticipate DeSean Jackson will get the majority of the minutes when it comes to, the five-man, if you want to still call it that? JT Rock obviously will be a redshirt freshman coming in. Chatfield, we don't know what he's going to be. 6'10" transfer from Seattle. Help me out with the minutes. Will Jackson essentially play the most of the bigs, do you think?
Well, I think that that Jefferson and Jackson, I would not be surprised if both of those guys start, to be honest with you. As far as the minutes go, I would say maybe an even split between those two. One thing that, that Jefferson does, though, coming into the program, I think maybe that allows Milan Momcilovic to stay more at the three. I think there was maybe some talk coming out of last season and losing so many of those bigs off of that team that maybe Milan would bulk up a little bit, maybe prepare to play a little bit more of the four. Curtis Jones maybe comes in to start. But I think with Josh Jefferson in there now with Deshaun Jackson, I wouldn't be surprised to see them start at the four and the five. And then you've got Milan at the three. Obviously, Lipsy and Gilbert, the one and the two. And then Curtis Jones, kind of that, 20 to 25, maybe some nights 30 minutes a game, depending on how things go. He's going to be that, I would say he's got to be a favorite for sixth man of the year in the Big 12 again, just based off of what we saw this past season.
They're deep.
They are.
They're deep.
Does that mean potential redshirts for Dwayne Pierce? And what about Indersitis, who is more highly regarded? What kind of role could he find in a team just this stacked up?
Jeez.
Well, I've been campaigning for Indersitis to play that he'll play a pretty big role coming into this season. But as you guys say, this team is so deep. But I think, you know, if Indersitis was at the level he is right now and he came in last season, I think you would have seen maybe a Milan Momcilovic level of impact for him. But now, with Curtis Jones coming back, I think all of it is going to depend. We know what Indersitis can do on the offensive side, but how does he come in, bulk up a little bit, pick up the defensive system more so? And I think that's going to tell the tale as far as how much he plays as a true freshman.
The hype for this team is going to be through the roof.
Already is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can understand why as well. And I'm certainly not wishing football season away. God, that's the last thing I'm doing. But my good gosh, this team, the TJ is going to fill out that lineup. Oof, unbelievable. Well, football's come and gone. Spring football has come and gone. You were in the press box watching the game. I guess just one or two of your takeaways, Bill, from what you witnessed on Saturday.
Well, you know, Kenny, you like to talk to me a lot about Chase Contreras last season. I know you're a big fan of him, and I'll tell you what, that Kyle Cunrardy, the Dubuque native, was really impressive, I think. You heard probably about what the weather conditions were, and the way that they played offense, they were moving from south to north, and that was into a wind. And Cunrardy hit, I believe, three over 40 yards in that game. Certainly very impressive. I think he's poised to be the guy to kick the field goals and the PATs. Perkins back as a punter. And Jace Gilbert sounds like he's going to stay around, and he's getting a lot of work. They didn't do special teams in the actual scrimmage portion on Saturday, but they did some special teams in the pregame. And Gilbert now looks like he's going to be at punter now and actually stay on the roster. That was kind of an interesting way of seeing how that was going to play out, but it apparently has. As far as offensively out of the game, Dylan Lee. They didn't play a whole lot of starters. I think even Matt Campbell said the top four offensive players were out in that one, just held out in Beck, the two wide receivers, and then Abu Sama and Carson Hansen as well. Another running back was held out. So that freed up, I believe, 17, 18 carries for Dylan Lee. He looked really good. I think he's going to take advantage of the summer conditioning portion, still a true freshman, and I think he's a guy that he could push for playing time as a true freshman, I believe, and they're not afraid to play those guys. You look at last season with Abu and with Carson Hansen, and they unseated two returning players at running back. So good day for Dylan Lee. it was kind of hard to get a gauge, I think, on the offensive line. They had some good rushes, I believe, to the exterior, to the outside, sidelines with Dylan Lee. Not a whole lot doing up in the middle that I could see anyway. But then again, they didn't really have a whole lot of offensive skill players. Let's skip over to the defensive side. I was pretty impressed with really that front six, I guess you'd call it, in the 3-3-5 that they run. It seemed like they had the upper hand in that one. But then again, the defense, they played more of their top guys in the offense. So kind of hard to really get a gauge in that regard. I think you're going to be pretty Cyclone fans are going to be pretty happy to see what we've heard about, like, that D-line. It's a year older now, and I think it's going to be back to that dominant level that we saw in 2020, 2021, where that group was a veteran group that really dominated in the trenches.
Do they have, like, 30 safeties on the roster? I know they right? play with an extra right? safety, but Jeremiah Cooper and Miles Purchase and Malik Verdon and Bo Frehler. And then we're talking about these young guys with Tayshaun James, who I know popped a little bit, and Sergis and Jamison Patton, and just on and on and on. How are they going to find spots for all these different guys? They help on special teams, I get that, but, boy, that is such a deep position group.
Well, it's going to be really entertaining, I think, next spring. You lose Bo Frehler. He's going to be out of there. Cooper and Verdon will be seniors. So, I mean, there's going to be some opportunities for these younger guys. And you really, I think you hope as a coaching staff that a lot of these guys stick around as well, because it's a pretty top-heavy unit going into this season with Frehler, Cooper, Verdon. I think those are probably the three starters, but then the second and third teams, it gets really competitive. You asked Trent what they do with some of them. You saw Jamison Patton play some corner in the spring.
Oh, did he?
Something else that noteworthy. I thought he didn't play a whole lot at that corner, but he was out there some. But then again, you wonder, they only had three returning cornerbacks there and then one true freshman in Quentin Taylor. So I think Patton was probably the most qualified out of those safeties to line up outside. So makes you wonder maybe if Patton could be a consideration there. Hasn't been really any official word out of the staff right now. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, and that there's more help on the way. They signed six defensive backs in this class, so this summer they add even more to that depth.
Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com, part of the Rivals Network. Bill, what can we look forward to at CycloneReport.com this week?
Well, I think we're going to have a commitment, football commitment to report on this afternoon. All indications they're going to get Jack Schaefer out of North Dakota, a high school player up there, has a nice offer list. He's going to announce this afternoon. All indications are it's going to be Iowa State. I've got a future cast in for him, so some stuff out of that. And just recruiting wise, I think here over the next few weeks, coaches are out on the road as we speak. That contact period is opened after spring ball, so probably some more offers to report, and coaches are getting kids lined up for official visits over the summer as well. So it truly never stops, guys.
Thankful for that. Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com. Bill, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Bill Seals. Good to hear from you. Bill Seals, as we check in on Iowa State. We'll do Iowa with David Eicholt coming up here to start hour number two. But before we get to that, we will head north to the Twin Cities. Dan Mazzatani, St. Paul Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. We'll be right back.
back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. When's that from? 60s?
It's got to be, right?
50s? Just sounds different, doesn't it? Really does. Dane Mazzitani. I'm guessing he's looking forward to the first round being in his rear view mirror. Good content, etc. But, man, you can only listen to so many fibs being told. Oh. Right, Dane Mazzitani? How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well. So, I thought that there was a chance that the NFL was going to punish Atlanta in advance of this draft. And I know there'd been some speculation that it might involve a swap of picks. Maybe Minnesota gets the 8 and they give the 23 to Atlanta. That would be their punishment. And, you know, I thought that's a pretty good idea. I could see the NFL doing that, but they're not. They're going to wait until after the draft. Was this rumor? Did it ever have legs, Dane? Did it cross your desk at all?
I don't think so. At least not the swap up to 8. I was a little surprised that, like, the punishment didn't get levied for this draft, because the tampering happened in this, like, period of free agency. So, like, the punishment to me should happen in this period of draft. But I think the whole pick swap to 8 sounded really good, and that's why it kind of developed a life of its own. I don't know if that was ever really like a big thing that was going to happen.
Something, let's just say, all right, Caleb Williams off the table. But there is a potential. There is a potential to move up. They get any other quarterback. Who is number one in their eyes? If everything's even, everything's the same, they could get to the number two spot. Who is their favorite quarterback after Caleb Williams?
I feel like it's Drake May.
Is it?
And it just feels like that's kind of like been the guy they've been connected to. I know JJ McCarthy's been like the name, but I think if they could hit a home run, trade whatever they can, and guarantee that they could get their guy that they feel best comfortable building around, it feels like Drake May to me. And that's just based on the way that you hear Kevin O'Connell talk about the quarterback position. It's based on, obviously, the connection between Drake May and Josh McCown. It goes back to when Drake May was in high school. I think it makes a ton of sense with the arm and the ceiling that he has, that the Vikings would really like him. But I say all of that, and then immediately in the same breath, we'll say, like, we don't really know right now. And then you're right. There's so many fibs being told at this time of the year for posturing and angling. But it feels like Drake made a me. And I think if they can make a deal, that they're going to go do that.
Do you get the sense that Washington is open for business? I think New England is willing to listen at 3. Is the second pick available, do you think, Dane?
I don't think so. And I think they're just kind of ready to make their selection. And it feels like Jaden Daniels to Washington, just based on betting lines. And I'm always a little hesitant to look at betting lines as a reason to believe whether or not a guy is going to go in a certain place. We saw what happened with Will Levis last year. I think he like skyrocketed his lines, you know, to be a top 5 pick, and he ends up falling out of the first round completely. But it does feel like there's some smoke there with Jaden Daniels to Washington. I think they're ready to make that pick and kind of move on with their rebuild.
They've had that second first round pick now for 6 weeks. You know, we saw a year ago with the Bears trading out of number one and how quickly that happened before the draft. What is taking so long? I mean, is there something more afoot here? Is it just waiting for the offer, maybe putting a pressure on the other team? Why is this taking as long as it has?
I think because, like, even though the Bears deal got done early last year, a lot of times these deals just happen when the respective team that you're trying to acquire their pick is on the clock. I think Monty Austin for it with Arizona kind of put it best. And he said, like, yeah, the number 4 pick's for sale, but we kind of want to see what's out there. And I think a lot of teams, when they're willing to trade a pick, let's say New England, they just want to see how the board falls. There's no reason for New England to really trade back to 11 without seeing what the board's going to look like. Maybe they love Jaden Daniels. I don't know what New England feels. I don't know enough about, you know, their pre-draft process, but let's say they love Jaden Daniels and all of a sudden he's available and they didn't think he was going to be. Well, then maybe that changes the calculus of their equation. So I think it's only taking so long because they're just waiting to kind of see teams that the Vikings would be negotiating with are waiting to see how the draft board falls.
So if Drake May's not there, if indeed the New England doesn't move and they take him at three, if Daniels does go two to Washington, Vikings would still need a quarterback. I would have to think that brings J.J. McCarthy back into play, Dane, and maybe having to move up. I think the Chargers are absolutely open for business at five. Would J.J. McCarthy be the guy if Drake May is gone?
I think so, just because those two names have been so connected to the Vikings throughout this process. So I think Drake May is probably one, J.J. McCarthy is probably two on their board. And then you can kind of see where things kind of go after that. I do think it's really interesting. Like, maybe they decide the package is too much. They're not willing to move off of, you know, their assets to go up and get J.J. McCarthy. And then, you know, say they stick and pick at 11 and 23 and they end up with Bo Nix. For all we know, Bo Nix might be the best quarterback in this draft.
That's true.
In two or three years. Yep. But I guarantee you the fans are going to treat it like the sky's falling if that's where things end up, just because those two guys have been connected to the team for so long.
I watched a Chiefs video yesterday from 2017. This Chiefs fan was just apoplectic that the Chiefs cannot get the quarterback position right, and this Patrick Mahomes thing is going to be out of the league in a couple of years. But you're 100% right about fans anyways.
Hey, before we let you go, Dana, let's jump in one quick thing on the Timberwolves. Well, it's all come up Minnesota. Going to get a quarterback here. Twins with a walk-off win, and the Timberwolves up 2-0 there. How's the buzz been up there with the T-Wolves and this team that is so fun to watch?
Yeah, it was electric. I was there last night reporting alongside our beat writer, Jace Frederick. As good of an environment as I've been in Minnesota sports, just in terms of how engaged the fan base was, you know, how loud they got at certain parts of the game. This is a hockey state that everyone says it's state of hockey, but it really is a basketball state too. And people have been waiting to have an NBA team to feel proud for and cheer for. And it certainly looks like this version of the Timberwolves is capable of doing something special. It doesn't feel like let's win a series and then bow out. This feels like it could be the start of something here in Minnesota, and I think the fans last night were a good example of that.
Well, they spent $500 million to try and come up with a solution to Jokic and Naz Reid and Kat and, of course, Rudy Gobert. We'll see if that's enough. I can't wait for that series. Dane, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. Know you're busy. Dane Mazzitani, St. Paul Pioneer Press. Thank you, Dane.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Good to talk to you. Dane Mazzitani. Hour 2 coming up next. Hawkeye conversation to start with David Eichel. We'll head to Chicago with the Capman. Hour 2, 106.3 KXNO.